Okay, our next speaker, Matt Klenheinz, is going to also talk about tomato grafting, but different topic.
Sure. Grafting and the use of microbials. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for sharing your time with me, and also thank you for the many excellent comments that you've shared through conversations and presentations of your own. It's been a really, really positive meeting, very informative. So much of what we do in the area of veg crop management has to do with enhancing crop performance, as you know. I'd like to start by giving credit to Dr. Zhang Wang, who is responsible for much of the work I'm going to share with you this afternoon. So much of what we do has to do with enhancing crop vigor or some sort of aspect of resource uptake or utilization or some resistance to or tolerance of abiotic stress specifically, okay? And we're taking two approaches in this study. In this study, we're looking first at genetics in the form of grafting, which has been well explained. We all know that it can result in superior physical hybrids able to or prepared to outperform their ungrafted counterparts. But a lot of that effort, so far as most people agree, has been focused on the selection for disease resistance or tolerance, and there's been less work in the abiotic realm, but we are now starting to see a bit of a shift into selection for abiotic stress resistance, which is a positive sign. The second aspect of enhancing crop vigor, crop resistance to stress, or utilization of resources that we're talking about this afternoon would combine the use of plant take advantage of plant microbe interactions. And in this case, we're talking specifically about the inoculation of plants with specific bacteria and or fungi, specifically to enhance or maintain plant growth under suboptimal conditions. As I'm sure you are also very well aware, another aspect of plant microbe interactions or another component or another pathway to taking advantage of them is to through other areas of cultivation, of crop production, promote the establishment and maintenance of a soil microbial community that's also quite conducive for the same reason. So in this case, though, we are speaking specifically about biostimulants, and you might know these as plant growth promoting microbes, as is PGPM here, or plant growth promoting rhizobacteria. But in this case, they're not just bacteria, they could also be fungi, or combinations thereof that work through any one of the three mechanisms that are listed there. And these plant microbe interactions, as you're very well aware, the outcomes of those interactions depend on a large number of factors, physical, biochemical, and physical, biochemical, procedural, physical, chemical, a lot of many ways of influencing the interaction between the plant and the microbe. Our hypothesis for this set of experiments was that tomato seedling growth variables are unaffected by rootstock or inoculation with a commercially available biostimulant. Our working objectives were to determine if the use of grafting, specifically several rootstocks, three rootstocks to be specific, and or a biostimulant, alters the growth relative to the control plants. And if those effects are noted, we wanted to clarify if they are independent, if they are interactive, or if they are additive. So why might this be important? We feel like it could contribute, the data that in this domain would help increase our understanding of whether or not there's greater efficiency and sustainability through additive effects, particularly. We'd also like to provide additional resolution to what may become very specifically important plant microbe interactions, such as question this, like here. Root traits that are antagonistic to certain pathogens has been selected for back in the slide I showed you before, wherein a lot of the characteristics of individual rootstocks are listed. At worst, they could be antagonistic to microbes that we would specifically apply or try to facilitate the development of greater populations of in the root zone. So while we're doing an excellent job developing resistant rootstocks, are we also simultaneously developing rootstocks that are less prone to establish and maintain productive relationships with non-pathogenic members of the same genera or clades? So our approach in this particular experiment was to carry out work in a greenhouse. It was repeated three times. The experimental period was 5 weeks in length from transplanting through data collection. We used a split plot design in each run, and our only scion was BHN-589. That was the variety used as a scion. Our main plot treatment was biostimulant, inoculation, yes or no, and our subplot was grafting with one with three different rootstocks or the ungrafted control in each run. And those rootstocks were Estimino, Maxifort, and Supernatural. Estimino, Maxifort, and Supernatural, based on work that we published relatively recently, are low to moderate vigor rootstocks. On a scale including more than 20 different rootstocks, Estimino, Maxifort, and Supernatural rank low to medium in their vigor. So the potential for a biostimulant to have a greater effect on a plant grafted with one of those three rootstocks, one could argue will either be very low if the association is not strong, or actually could enhance the utility of that rootstock. So in the first two runs of the experiment, we purchased our grafted plants. It was a matter of convenience. It was a matter of consistency. It was best at the time. And in the third repeat, we grew and produced our own grafted plants at OARDC using standard methodology. The biostimulant that we used was EnviroNoc 401. It contains nitrogen-fixing and pea-solubilizing bacteria in the genera listed here. It is OMRI-listed, and the label establishes it as having a concentration or 10 to the 7th CFUs coliforming units per milliliter. Why EnviroNoc 401 specifically? Beyond the fact that it contains the multiple species of bacteria, which makes it a representative product, these bacteria are recognized as being plant growth promoting. They do have a broad host range. EnviroNoc 401 is fairly easy to apply, and we have included it in previous experiments and obtained promising results. So the treated plants were inoculated 3 times at 3, 5, and 7 days after transplanting by a simple root drench, as shown here, using a 50 mL solution, again at 10 to the 7th CFUs per mil total. The rest of the experimental period was rather straightforward. Plants were placed in pots. They were transplanted. They were treated. They were kept at excellent growing conditions. They were irrigated well, and they were fertilized, but at a low concentration and frequently, just to maintain positive growth. Again, this was true for all plants, inoculated or not. We took weekly measurements of plant height, stem diameter, total branch length, and when the time came, number of open flowers and fruit, and percent leaf coverage. And in run three, root biomass. I want to emphasize that these plants were not taken to full maturity. It was not our goal to determine fruit yield. In this case, it was early vegetative growth, juvenility, that we were primarily interested in. So this is just a schematic of what measurements were taken when, by run and week. And you see everywhere there is a check mark, you see that measurement was taken, and you see it's vegetative growth was our primary interest, and when we were able to count fruit and flowers, we did so. So additive effects, we definitely wanted to clarify whether there was any effect at all and whether or not they were independent or interactive or possibly additive. Additive effects arguably were our primary interest because they would imply that the combination of grafting and microbial inoculation is superior to either one alone. Okay? And in this case, we have to determine whether or not test for that additive effect and whether or not it's greater than the arithmetic sum of the individual factors. Now, that's determined in 3 steps, which I won't describe here just for sake of brevity. I do have a description of the methodology if you're interested in it, but it is a 3-step process and has to be done for each and every variable, each and every time it's measured. But I'd like to make three comments about additive effects. For variables without those additive effects, the combined effects can still be greater than both individual ones alone. That stands to reason. Secondly, combined and individual effects can be negative. When, as we've seen, we can have a reduction in a variable as a function of the application of a treatment. We can hinder early growth or advance it. So combined and individual effects can be negative. And additive effects, by definition, are not positive. In this case, an additive effect can indicate that a reduction has been mitigated. So whereas you would look for a reduction, has that reduction been mitigated by the treatment? That's important to differentiate. So what did we find? We found when we used basically the master ANOVA, we found a little bit of effect of the run or the repeats, but these were effects mainly of magnitude, not in any sort of direction. Biostimulant and grafting and biostimulant and grafting together as an interaction did affect height, diameter, and branch length, and to some extent leaf coverage when you look at only grafting itself. Looking more specifically, grafting effects tended to outlast biostimulant effects by 1 week. And more importantly, the interaction effect either was either intermittent or shorter-lived. So these are the weeks 1 through 5 or 1 through 4 at which the effect of these factors was significant on these variables. And you see for the biostimulant effect, it was 1 to 4, weeks 1 through 4 for its height, 1 through 3 for diameter, 1 through 3 for branch length, and so forth. And that you see for grafting, those effects tend to be a little bit longer lasting. Grafting effects using data from the first run of the experiment just as an example, but these data are representative of runs 2 and 3 as well. Each and every time you see the abbreviation for a rootstock, that indicates that the difference between the grafted and the ungrafted plants was significant. So what you're seeing is a lot of rootstocks being listed, and what that indicates is that grafting had a significant effect on plant height, stem diameter, branch length, and percent leaf coverage through most weeks of the study, which was kind of implied by the data shown earlier. That was definitely true of root biomass, whether it be fresh weight or dry weight, and either of the three rootstocks compared to the ungrafted control. This is probably something that's not very surprising to those who have worked a lot with grafting. The overall biostimulant effect was also pretty significant, was also frequently significant through weeks 4 on most of the variables shown. And we have all of the data to indicate that you take variable by variable, week by week, run by run, and the presence of inoculation or not, the comparisons indicate that more often than not, biostimulant inoculation with a biostimulant increased the value of that variable. And in many cases, that difference was statistically significant. Okay? There were some interactions. The effects seemed to be greater with Maxifort and Supernatural than with Estimino. But again, that's not altogether too surprising. What I'd like to end with is this, before we get to the conclusion slide, is this particular slide that indicates the number of additive effects that we found. And down here it says that 67 out of 155 possible effects, 43% of all those effects, showed an additive dimension. Meaning that when we combined a grafted plant, Supernatural, Maxifort, or Estimino, with inoculation, we obtained a statistically significant additive effect in 43% of the cases. So, summarizing conclusion. Our working objectives, again, were to determine if the use of a rootstock or biostimulant alters growth relative to the control, and if those effects are noted, are they independent, interactive, or additive? Our conclusions to date so far, grafted plants and or inoculated ones grow faster during juvenility than control plants. For those that are working with grafting, this may not be altogether surprising, but the biostimulant domain is a little bit less well documented. Secondly, based on our data, it is reasonable to conclude or reasonable to expect that grafting inoculation will result in an additive effects on vegetative growth. So going forward, this seems to be a potentially important topic to follow up on when we consider the potential combination of tactics, including grafting and the use of microbial. So I'd like to thank the sponsors, the USDA SCRI and North Central Region SARE and the Center for Applied Plant Science.